Hi, I'm Peter Haddock, and today I'm doing a special podcast for National Highways at the Development Centre. We're in one of the rooms, so it might be a bit echoey, folks, for you, but I've managed to find Muneer Akhtar. Muneer, we have been trying to talk together about what National Highways are doing for some time now, and I've literally accosted you at the Development Centre, and we're going to talk about the reasons why, one, this centre is important, but also what National Highways is doing and your role with the CAP group that we've been working together on for some time. Muneer, please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself and your role.
Okay, as you rightly point, it's a pleasure meeting yourself after such a long time. My name is Muneer Akhtar. I work for National Highways. I've been in the business coming on to about 16 years now and worked in a variety of areas within the business, from operations, health and safety, major projects, innovation team. And finally now I've settled down into the project sponsor role. And within this role, it's quite challenging in that what I want to do is create some change for National Highways and ensure that we're leaders within the area, particularly around automation and construction on site.
And what's really interesting, Muneer, is we've been talking some time now about the CAP group, that you are a key player in that group. Can you explain to me a little bit what the CAP group is all about and why it's so significant for you as a leader and also for the wider industry?
I think the CAP group is really, really important for a number of factors or a number of reasons. One of them being that it brings the whole supply chain together, and that's where myself in the leadership role has bring not just the supply chain, the likes of our tier ones and tier twos, but it's gone out further than the normal supply chain. We've gone out and reached to the academics. We've gone and reached out to our OEMs, original equipment manufacturers, and small medium enterprises. And through this community that we've formed, we've had input and normal negotiations with them to try and understand where we're going and hopefully bring some of this expertise together and try and get down to introducing automation on site.
And what's really important, folks, is they actually have, and we are here, alluded to earlier, the development centre here. And basically, that allows people to bring technologies to you and actually show you how they work on a real-world site that we're modelling here at the National Highways Development Centre. It's really important that we encourage people, new entrants into the market, the disruptors that people call them, but also support other businesses in bringing technology together, isn't it? And tell me a little bit about some of the things that you've already witnessed and the benefits that have already come out from the CAP group so far.
Well, what the CAP group is very active, and it wants to encourage and work with not just us within National Highways, but as leadership that we're taking, we're reaching out to the likes of HS2. And what we want the CAP community to do is come to us, tell us what they're doing, what they're developing, so we can go back into the business and tell the rest of our colleagues within major projects and operations the good works that our supply chain is doing. So what we want to do at this development centre is really reach out to them and say, if there's something that you want to trial, if there's just something you want to test, why not come to us and we'll see what we can do to at least give you at least a site to try and demonstrate some of this kit. So some of these disruptors that you spoke about, we want to reach out to the people who've got in their garages or a small sort of five-man team or five-operative team and say, come and speak with us and work with us.
I think what's really interesting about that is we've seen how the automation journey has taken off with a really, really impactful project, the A14 project that you are ultimately responsible for. That project was a full machine control site development. And unbelievably, for any project, it was delivered before its deadline and under budget. And we can achieve a lot of these goals when we actually talk together and we integrate. And that was a great example of how we can do that. And you've learned from that as National Highways, haven't you? And you're taking the learnings from that and other places forward. Tell me about that sort of journey.
I mean, the challenges on the A14 were quite large, but we stood up to the challenge and we delivered ahead of schedule. But we done one thing further than that. It was a project that I instigated on site and led on. It was the autonomous dump truck trial. which was the first one in England. And what we demonstrated was that we've got technology out there, we've gone to the supply chain, we've given the supply chain a section of land away from the traveling public in a controlled environment, and we've tested and we've trialed an autonomous dump truck with the technology. All the safety processes were in place. We met all the conditions for the site. We did not disrupt the site. And we've taken a lot of that shared learning away and brought it back into the business. That's fed really neatly into what we call the Connected Autonomous Plant roadmap, the journey. So by 2035, 2040, we should be seeing more automated plant on site. Firstly, in the first stages, I think we'll go for semi-autonomous, but then as time goes on, it'll be fully autonomous. What that means for people within not just national highways, but for the industry, is that we are now taking the operatives out of a danger zone and giving them a safe place. Not to say construction sites aren't safe. There is always that possibility of a trip or a slip, and we're taking those operatives out of that environment, potentially working in a cleaner environment, office-based location, and so, well, you could operate that kit. So we've taken the A14 learning and taken it to the next level, and that's exactly what the roadmap demonstrates. So again, a lot of this is working with the supply chain, but also with the tier ones, and having that collaborative approach is really, really critical, because national highways, I don't think, will be able to deliver what it can without working in this joint fashion with the supply chain.
I totally agree there, and I think the technology you're talking about, the likes of CAT command stations, the likes of the Kobelco semi-automatic machine that I've seen with PlantForce, and also all of the technologies that are linking people together. So the road to autonomy is also a road to your net zero as well, isn't it, Munir? And I think net zero is really important to me, it's important to everybody, mm-hmm. and particularly as we attract more people, younger people, into the industry that are more focused on sustainability as well. We've now got a dual flow of the CAP group, but also your net zero goals. That's going to have to accelerate change, isn't it, to achieve some of those net zero goals?
Well, absolutely. What Connected Autonomous Plant does, it doesn't simply give you efficiencies on a construction site, it gives you that environmental benefit. So now what happens is that when a machine or a piece of plant is operating on site, the connected part of it will now operate it at maximum efficiency. And when it's not in use, it will switch off the machine, save the environment, save our customers, potentially some who are located quite near to our construction sites. So they are now going to have a quieter site. On top of that, we're also going to be working with other methods of plant, where we've got things such as working with electric kit. And there's another project that I'm working with at the moment, really early doors, which will start to also reduce the CO2 emissions coming out of the exhaust pipes. That's just one element. We also, part of the CAP journey, will also start to encourage those from the wider community to come and look at careers within construction itself. There's a lot of things we can do for UK PLC, but I think it's just a case of bringing all the community together to understand exactly what some of these challenges are and what we're doing. And we're nowhere closer to sorting out some of these challenges, reaching out not just to the OEMs, the original equipment manufacturers, but start reaching out to the technology firms to say, well, actually, there's a challenge here. Can you help us resolve it?
You're absolutely right. And I think when I look at this whole piece around inclusion, diversity, and making sure we're a much more open industry, the way I see it is actually we need to shout a bit more from the rooftops about the great things we're doing. National Highways, without this organisation, we wouldn't be able to travel on a motorway from one destination to the next. With other organisations building different structures, building better environments for all of us, construction does all of that. And when it comes to the point about disability, I think there's a really strong point there, because there are a lot of operators that may have had a slip or a trip on site, may have injured themselves, but actually can come into an environment, an office environment, sit in what is actually a inside of a machine, for want of a better word, a CAT command station is exactly that, and literally dial in anywhere in the world to that machine. That's fundamentally making everybody more accessible to work, and also making sure that those skills that those people have got that might have been an operator for, say, 30 years or 5 years, very, very skilled, back into play, doesn't it?
I think that's absolutely important. You raise a really good point in that those who've had incidents at work, unfortunately, they're not able to go back onto site for a number of weeks, number of months, or even longer term. We want to still say, come into site and operate, maybe train. There's lots of opportunity for you now, and that's what we need to do. And we want to also work towards making the environment more inclusive. What we want to do as National Highways is really be the leader in this area. And it's not going to be by just focusing on one thing. I think the construction is an area that we really need to start focusing on. And I think we're stepping up to the challenge, and we're definitely getting there.
And I think what's interesting for me is we always talk about roads, and we talk about things like potholes. We talk about things like car accidents, and we're getting a lot of autonomy put into that space. But we're also here today to look at drone technology. And what drone technology can do is actually take people away from a busy environment and actually capture data without people having to close roads, or without people actually having to go on to a potentially dangerous situation where they're surveying. And we're talking about using other technologies like ground penetrating radar and things like that to map the whole of the UK. And to have this 3D map of all your assets allows you to actually do things better as well, doesn't it? This is really important, that technology that we can have the minutest of point clouds. That creates the models and everything else that you want to work to. And fundamentally, it's your role not just to create, say, the new A14, but it's to manage that asset for its life cycle. And all of that sort of technology is coming into play with that management element. And that's really critical, isn't it?
Absolutely. What we want to do is look from cradle to grave. So we're not just looking at the middle part of it, where we're just looking at construction. What we're saying is we want to start looking at the design element of it. So we're going to start speaking to the designers to say, can you start designing for the machines? The machine will start to undertake the activity. And whilst that activity of construction is being undertaken, we then use satellites. We'll start using drones, any other means that we have to start monitoring the site as construction is going on in real time. So we have an as-built, not an as-built as well, we think it was this, but it's not at the end. And then when it comes over into maintenance, the maintenance, well, they've got a true picture, one story of what was actually constructed. And then that leads us to the next phase, which comes to decommissioning. So when it comes to decommissioning, we don't need to rely on some of our colleagues. Where is some of our stuff? We don't really know. We know where it is, because we've got the full cycle, we've put it in, we've maintained it, and we want to decommission it after operating it. So that means when it comes to decommissioning, we're also going to make cost savings, because we're going to know what material's in there, when it was constructed, what time it was constructed, and that's what gives us a real journey. And this was something which I developed a couple of years ago, probably one of the first in the business, to develop business information modelling. That was on a scheme that I was working at National Highways up north. And within that, I was dealing with the Cabinet Office and just developing some of those standards. So I think it all sort of integrates throughout the whole work stream to ensure that the data that we have is true and accurate.
And that one version of the truth is really important to me, because what it allows you to do is it allows you to see all the different levels. It allows you to monitor the performance of a road, and if that makeup is slightly different to something else and it's performing better, it actually gives you that opportunity to say, as you are maintaining roads and structures, if we put in these layers and if we recycle the material, we've only got to cut down to this layer, because layer by layer is different materials, then fundamentally you're able to not only make a better road surface, learn from the areas in which have had to have maintenance or potholes have arrived for various different reasons, and then recycle all of that to create the roads of the future as well, and to bring in new materials for those roads. So it's really important that this is an ongoing learning data process, but that you've almost got the digital playbook in which to play it with. And what I'm really excited about, when I was last here at an event that National Highways did, the digital rehearsal Mynheer. You know, taking all that design and that data and rehearsing the construction of that road or that structure before you actually even get plant on site. That's really important, isn't it? Because you find out that through the rehearsal phase, you change the behaviour of what you're going to do or the phasing, for example.
Well, absolutely. It's really critical that we look in advance of what we're going to do. So what I'm trying to get our suppliers to do, and those within National Highways, is start to think, well, before we go onto site, we do the rehearsal, but for me, it's going one step further. Now, if we're going to have connected plant on site or have a connected site, we need to start thinking in advance of all the things that we need to put in the ground, whether it's in the ground or otherwise, and say, well, if we're going to put in some of these connections in, whether in order for the plant to operate, maybe we have a double benefit and say, well, we can leave it because we know what the alignment is, we know what we're constructing, maybe we leave it in. And so when the connected vehicles come along, we've already saved costs because we've already put the network in. There is that challenge of, well, what do the connected vehicles need? Well, we base it and future-proof as much as we can and say, well, this is the connectivity that we need at the moment. We have it for the plant, we use it for the cars. Who knows, in the future, there could be something else which is far better. But then we have systems in place that will allow us to integrate it easier. What we don't want to do is keep our travelling public inconvenienced from their perspective while we're doing works, and then give them a nice shiny road, only to come back 4 or 5 years later and re-dig it all up again to put something in for connected vehicles. What I'm saying is have a bit more future thinking about this and say, well, actually, let's see, can we hit two birds with one stone? There is a cost element where we maybe need to put upfront costs, but that's all about testing and trialing. So we don't need to just reach out to the original equipment manufacturers who just manufacture construction equipment. Some of these also manufacture vehicles as well. And maybe say, well, can we get your vehicle part to the business, talking to your construction part of the business, and start bringing them together. And just today, I had a conversation with one of our colleagues, and they had on the team people who are working in their construction arm and their trucks arms, and they're both dealing with the connectivity part of it. So what I'm getting them to do and working with us is to come together and say, well, actually, in the future, the vehicles at some stage may also start talking to the plant as well, and the plant can start talking to the vehicle and say, hi, I'm over here, don't come down here, and start having that communication with them. It's all about mobility. And that's what it will do for us. And then it also happens, the benefits of that is that people can start planning their journeys earlier. Because if this piece of plant A is communicating with the vehicle and say, well, you know, I'm going to be blocking off the road for and creating some works here and reducing your journey time by 5 minutes, that gives the operator of the vehicle more thinking time and gives them an option. Do I want to leave 5 minutes early? Do I want to meet 5 minutes late? Or do I want to do it over the phone as a conference call? So we're just giving our users more options and more choice.
And that is what that sort of CAP journey is all about. And that's what the connected worksite's all about. And until today, folks, I didn't realise the connected worksite could actually go that far from the connected road to the vehicles, to the plant, and to the future. And I think, Munir, that's a great way to end this conversation. Of course, I'll be seeing you again very shortly at the FutureWorks event on the 30th and 31st of March. And basically, we'll be talking more about technology and bringing those people together, just like you've done today here at the Development Centre with the drone teams. We'll be talking about the whole industry and the way in which that moves forward. Fantastic to see greater collaboration. Fantastic to see connected thinking coming in a wider sense, and this industry that we're working in becoming a more collaborative and inclusive space. Thanks for the work that you and your team are doing at National Highways. Great to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.